Yes, Jesus
is the deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free.
Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, there's still good news in Jesus and still good news in the Word. And the Word is performing itself as believers speak it. And things and problems that we wouldn't imagine might be spiritual, well, praise God, we're finding out there is an answer to many of the things going on in people's lives. And yes, it is spiritual. That is really good news to find out it's spiritual, because we really do have the answer. We're commissioned by the blood of Jesus to go forth and ministering to the brokenhearted and setting at liberty those who are bruised, preaching deliverance to the captives. Well, here on the phone with me, long distance, is Brother Keith Forey in South Padre Island. Keith, good to have you on.
Thank you for calling me, Everett. It's a pleasure.
Keith, let me get some history on you. You have brought your stepson up, how many months ago has it been now?
It's been about 3 months now, and Michael was 5 years old. We had some time of preparation, and we kind of worked with Michael, explained to him why we were going to Oklahoma City, and we showed up, and amazing things happened.
Well, why don't you explain, Keith, and you all were already born-again Christians. How long had you been born again?
My wife and I were married in the Baptist Church 5 years ago. I've been practicing, I've been a practicing Baptist for 4.5 years now. I'm on the ushers committee at my church. We're very active. Both of us have been born-again Christians since our early teens.
Praise God. Okay, so that establishes that. And you might speak up pretty close on the phone if you would, Keith. And why don't you tell us some of the things that had happened. Well, first tell us what was going on with your stepson, and then you might give a little background on him as well.
About a year and 2 months ago, Michael came to live with us. He's the daughter of my sister. And she got to a point where she was not capable of providing for him properly, so we've taken the child into our home, in our hearts, in our church. Michael was exhibiting behavior that was unusual to us. Obviously, we weren't parents at the time, but we were experiencing some problems that we couldn't explain, we could not fix them, we did not have the answer for this.
Now, you'd been to doctors and all?
Well, we had been to psychologists, we had been to physicians. We had diagnosed the problem as some type of abuse from his parents, but we weren't real clear on what it was. There were fits, there was childlike behavior from a five-year-old, some of which is unnatural, some of which is natural.
And what were some of the unnatural things that were going on?
Well, and my wife helped a lot in this respect, because she's been a teacher for about 5 years, so I mean, she knew what normal five-year-olds, how they responded and how they reacted. Some of the unusual reactions were the constant nightmares, the overwhelming desire to talk about devils and witches. There was a lot of instances where he preferred certain parts of the house than not other parts of the house. He had a routine that he would go into about every evening where he would turn into a small baby. And then there were fits that he would go into that were just outrageous. I mean, unexplained fits. We never could find the triggering mechanism for these fits.
Just anger and rage and all.
Yes. And obviously, we got to learning more about Deliverance Ministries, and through a lot of prayer, because we needed help with this child, and the Lord revealed rejection to us. And that's when we pretty much got on the notion that maybe we were dealing with something and we didn't have the right tools. And that's when we called you.
Okay, and then, so you all came up to Oklahoma City and...
We came up to Oklahoma City and...
And something else he was doing, I remember you telling me, he was rather withdrawn to it within himself. He didn't seem to have much affection, is that right?
No, there wasn't a lot of affection. He tended to... If he was either real close or very distant, there was no middle ground, and we considered that was a problem. But when we based all this on rejection, we started figuring out that maybe he was having some outside influence that we hadn't dealt with yet. So we came to Oklahoma City, met you in your office up there, and we started in with the prayer at about 7 o'clock. and an interesting thing that happened that we didn't find out, I'm not sure if you've been told this yet, Everett, is that while we were in the middle of this prayer, his sister, who was living in the valley at the time, was experiencing some deliverance at the same time.
Praise God.
So we're in the meeting up there, and Michael decides, well, it's time to go to sleep. He hadn't had that active of a day. It wasn't normal. He just laid down, and I think that they were trying to block out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion. We went through the meeting, and it was tremendous. Michael responded to the deliverance that was administered by myself, his grandfather, and you.
Now, when we prayed, for the most part, it seemed rather routine. We just did it in a very easygoing, kind of joyful way. Do you recall, was there anything you particularly noticed when we were coming against the suspect spirits?
Well, we went through the prayer and did the binding and all of that, and then we were on the couch, and Michael was comfortable, and he was alert and awake, and we started coming against these spirits, and it was really amazing. I mean, I had read the SWAT manual before, and I understood that there were some indications of these spirits departing the body, and he certainly exhibited that. I think he yawned about 20 times.
Okay.
Just after every time we would command them to leave in Jesus' name, he'd yawn, and then he'd jump up and give me a kiss.
Oh, yeah, right, I remember that. Now, I'd kind of forgotten. It's been so many months ago now. But, yes, I remember him jumping up and giving you a kiss every time.
And he'd sit back down, and boy, we'd go after another one, and he'd do this great big yawn, and then he'd jump up and kiss me again.
He hadn't ever been pre-programmed, I don't believe, on yawning, had he?
No, I don't think so.
So something, so many of them do come out with yawns. We see that a lot. Well, what were some of the spirits that we came against, Keith, do you recall?
Rejection was probably one of the most important ones, I think. There was fear was a big one. That was probably the one that was the hardest for him. I mean, the nightmares and he was scared of this and scared of that. Other than that, there was Jezebel. I don't have the list in front of me, but I can personally attest that I'm sure that 14, at least 14 were there and are not there now.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. And we also broke off any ungodly soul ties or any demonic soul ties that might be there concerning his natural father. He'd been abused, hadn't he?
We think he has.
Yeah.
And we also broke word curses, which I think made a big positive
right.
effect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to our time in Oklahoma. We returned home, and to be real honest with you, I had kind of expected, you know, to walk out of the office with a changed child.
Mm-hmm.
What I did is I walked out with a better relationship with the child.
Praise God.
Over the course of the next 3 weeks, the elements of his personality started to fall into place.
Hallelujah.
We started getting to know who the child really was. And I think that he was free to express himself without any hindrance. And over the past 2 months, he has continued to develop how we would consider a normal five-year-old to develop. He plays alone. He sings in the morning. He's happy when he gets
praise
out of bed.
Praise God. Isn't that exciting?
He no longer throws his toys across the house. He wants to help and encourage. He's positive. He enjoys school. He's not the same child that went to Oklahoma and went to Deliverance Ministry.
Hallelujah. That is, you know, that shows, and it makes you wonder, well, how many more are out there? How many other people, families, are having problems with their children and all, and we've not known how to minister in this, and yet here's the answer right under our nose. Always been there, right in the Word. By the blood of Jesus, we can prevail. So, are you kind of sharing this concept now down there in Padre Island, Keith?
Absolutely. There's a number of people in our church, and of course, it's a Baptist church, so we have to have a good foundation on which to start this. So
amen.
Some of the people don't accept it readily, but we've managed to convince two of our friends down here, and we've worked with their children. And I think that the results have been just as dramatic.
Praise God. You know, and the Baptists have always been such word people, so it's all a matter of going to the Word. Amen?
Without the tools, you cannot cure it.
Yes.
And it's just a matter, I believe Satan has perpetrated the largest lie against mankind by hiding this information from man.
Deception. That's the only game he has left.
Deception. The deception has been incredible, and now that we're starting to gather the tools and the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom, my house is wonderful. I love my community. My office is clean. My children are happy.
That's our Jesus setting the captives free. Keith Foree of South Padre Island, Texas. God bless you, and exciting to hear how Jesus set your son free.
Thank you, Everett.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. I'm on the phone again, doing a phone patch, an exciting testimony, but we're still reading where Jesus commissioned all of us believers in His name to cast out demons. And most of us, if you've read that scripture, well, you probably haven't seen a demon to cast out. But as we found out, they're all around us, some of them hiding pretty well. But as you become conscious that maybe they're out there, then it all starts fitting into place. And here today on the program to share with me is Cindy Lane. Cindy, good to have you on.
Hi, thank you.
Cindy, I'd like to kind of visit here with you. You had an experience with your daughter Susan here. Well, it's been quite a few months ago now. I guess what?
About 5 or 6 months.
5 or 6 months ago. And why don't you explain to the listeners kind of what was going on and what was happening with your daughter when that day that you took her into the hospital and finally to see the doctor?
Well, Susan had become uncontrollable in...
How old is Susan?
She's 6 years old.
Okay.
She had become uncontrollable and to the point where there wasn't anything to calm her. She kept on telling us that she wanted to kill us. Well, one morning, we just said, well, we've got to take her to the hospital. This is more than just an anger or a child's tantrum. This is something, but we didn't know what. In the hospital, well, they saw her and they just said, well, she's fine. We don't see anything wrong. And so they called up her pediatrician, Dr. Albert K. Harvey, and he said, well, let's see her. And we brought her in, and my husband had to hold her all the way there in the car, and they had to pin her and hold her and carry her into the door, just completely uncontrollable. And Dr. Harvey sent us out of the room, and he could not calm her. And finally he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to sit and be quiet. And she was instantly quiet.
She got quiet instantly.
Yes. It was the only thing he could do to calm her.
Which quickly told everybody that you must have hold of a spiritual matter rather than a physical one.
Right. And he called us. He sedated her after that. And after that, I mean, you know, the words are what calmed her. The name of Jesus. And he called us and he says,
Could you speak up, Cindy, pretty loud on the phone?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
He said, I have two things to tell you. He says, one, it could be a psychiatric problem. But he says, I can lay my doctor's hat down on this desk and I can tell you. He says, have you opened yourself or your family up to anything that might be ungodly? Well, I immediately knew what he was talking about because I had become interested with a friend in the psychic world, as it were. And I knew right away what it was. I knew that that there was a particular person that was trying to do me harm. And once, you know, I told him that, well, he called you, Everett, and we just, you know, we realized that this man that was trying to do me harm was doing it through my family and doing it through my kids. And, you know, that it was taken care of.
I think we basically had figured out that he probably had cast a spell. He was into witchcraft, and he had cast a spell upon your family, which had authorized demons to go forth to torment and harass you, and you saw this happening then in your daughter.
Well, the night before we went into the hospital, the night before this last thing had happened, her last tantrum happened, I said to my husband, I said, Dave, I said, I know you're going to think I'm nuts, but I know what this is. I was just laying there, you know, and I said, I know what this is, I know it's this man, and I know he's trying to harm me and my family. And Dave, he was kind of like, yeah, Cindy, you know, he wasn't, but when I went into the office the next day, that evening, and was in front of Dr. Harvey, I looked at Dave, I said, Dave, I was right. So God must have just sent me that, because I'm laying there in bed, and all of a sudden, it just dawned on me that, you know, what was going on. And it wasn't only Susan that was having problems. We were all having problems. I had become, I guess, an overnight alcoholic. I don't know what else you call it. I was drinking huge bottles of rum, like 3 or 4 of them a week. I was not able, I'm normally a very, very active person. I was not able to do anything but sit in front of the TV and drink. My husband was ill and continuously having pains he had never had before. And my son had become so... stubborn is a mild word for it. I mean, he had this glare. He would outstare me. If I would say something that would upset him, he would outstare me with this glare. And my son is such a naturally very sweet, quiet boy. And the two of them, Susan and David, the two kids together, would fight, pain fight, not arguments over a toy or something. I mean, they would actually physically harm each other. The strength that they had, the physical strength that they had and used against Dave and I, my husband and I, and each other, was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually afraid for all of our lives.
Mm. So it was obvious the family was being tormented and harassed.
It definitely was, yeah.
Well, Cindy, we have about 3 minutes remaining. Why don't you explain what happened? You came in. We did minister to you, the family as a whole. We ascertained and made sure that you were born again Christians. We went through the sinner's prayer, we came against various spirits. There weren't any obvious manifestations, as I recall. As we ministered other, at one point your daughter did say she felt something come through her throat, didn't she?
Yeah, and down her arm.
Yes, came out her arm.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we were scoring, and then...
Well, we felt very... It was a great uplifting. We felt great when we left, but it did reoccur, and it reoccurred several times.
In fact, you might explain quickly what happened. I believe it was the next night, wasn't it?
The next night, it happened again. Her immense fit, uncontrollable. We touched the Bible to her, and she screamed like she had been burned with a hot poker.
And didn't she have a kind of a funny cough or sound or something coming out?
She had a terrible cough, and she vomited, but it wasn't vomit. It was foam and blood.
And wasn't there a lower voice, you were telling me, or a low-sounding cough that didn't sound like her?
No, it didn't. It was an unnatural cough to
mm-hmm.
her, and then when that happened, she spit that vomit, or that foam and blood. And it was gone.
And you touched the Bible to her, and she screamed out and all that. So obviously there was something demonic, a reaction going on.
All the while telling us she was going to kill us.
Wow. And then, could you tell then when it came out?
Oh, you could tell, yeah. She was scared. She was trembling, but she was hugging, coming to us for love. You know what I mean? It was
yes.
A peacefulness that came over to her. Came over her.
Praise God. And how's your daughter doing now?
Now she is. She's such a. She's back to normal. I mean, she's a sweet little girl. I mean, just very, very sweet. Always had been. And she is very, very loving. She told me that she opened the door to let Jesus in, and Jesus came and hugged her and kissed her on the head and is watching over her.
Hallelujah. Well, that's our Jesus setting the captives free. And Cindy, you know, some people argue, or they say that young children can't be bothered by demonic beings, and yet, as you really look at the scriptures, in fact, I'm looking at one now in Mark 7:25, where it reads, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit." Well, and you see various accounts where Jesus would say, "When did the spirit come in?" Like the case with a little boy that had the convulsions, and it would throw him in the fire, and the father said, "As a child." So we do see accounts, just as you experienced. And Cindy, I appreciate you sharing this experience, because there are other families out there that no doubt have children that are having similar experiences. And but the good news is that Jesus, once you turn on to Him 100%, He will set us free as we minister in the power in His name. Cindy Lane, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.
Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, there's more excitement in Jesus, more exciting testimonies. And here today, I've got a whole family with me. I'd like to welcome Doug and Leslie Foltz and their children. Good to have you all with us.
Nice to be here.
Good to be here, Everett.
Well, you all, let me open with a scripture here first before we get into your story and how Jesus' power and the power of the Holy Spirit has come forth and set you all free. But quickly, just jumping over to Mark 7, I'd like to open here with this scripture. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now, the point here that I want to make is that even children can be bothered by demonic activity. I know there's various people around that just don't think that children can be bothered, but here it is even in the Word. And as we've noted, everything that's in the Word here is still happening today. Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word shall never pass away. It's all still alive and well and still happening. Well, that means then that children can be bothered, and here is a real live testimony to tell about it. So I'd like to, you might give us a little background. Now you all actually haven't been born again all that long, is that right?
About 3.5 years.
Okay, and Leslie, as how long ago was it that this happened with your daughter?
3.5 years.
3.5 years ago, okay. All right, well, why don't you give us a little background on what was going on with your daughter and how it finally led into some ministry.
She was very rebellious. She would fight anything that you would ask her to do. She had a lying about her that anything that her brother would do or somebody else would do, she would tend to lie about it. She would toss and turn at night in her sleep from the time she would go to bed to the time she'd get up in the morning. Her hair would be matted in knots so tight that she would cry to get the knots out because they were so strong in there. And just a very unhappy child, very angry, just always distant. I could never get very close to her. She would never let me love her or hug her.
How old was she at the time?
She was, well, anywhere. It started, we noticed, when she was 2 years old, and it continued to get worse progressively till she was 5 when she was delivered.
Okay, so here all these things were going on, and she was tossing and just being tormented a lot. And then the other, you started to notice other things.
I just noticed that she would complain about her eyes hurting. Like when she'd be watching TV, she'd complain that they hurt. And there was violence at the babysitters. They would ask her to do things, and she wouldn't. And she would hit the other children. And she would shudder. When you would call her down, she would shake. And the babysitter would ask me why she would do it, and I would never have an answer for her because I really didn't know.
And then you were telling me earlier how when you were with other families or she was with other children, there was even violence sometimes?
Yes, there was. The babysitter that was watching her, we had left because we had moved to Tulsa, and we had found another one then after we came back from Tulsa back to the city, and she had hit that babysitter's daughter. And the mother was definitely upset and didn't know why, because there wasn't a reason for it. And it just kind of was like that. She was real hard on her brother. She would always push him around and was real mean to him and wouldn't love him as the rest of us.
So here's all these strange things going on with Sarah. And who was it that kind of led you into the freedom? Leslie, you had, what is your babysitter? Is that right? Who actually was praying for you and knew kind of what you probably needed.
Right, yes. Glenetta, our babysitter that had watched her for a number of years, had been praying and had requested prayer in church for us. And the Holy Spirit, of course, started to minister and move in our lives. And she, through those prayers, she had called me one evening and wanted to take her to a prayer meeting. And I asked her why, and she said because Sarah was in need of deliverance. And I know it was the Lord, because I had come from a Catholic background and knew nothing about deliverance, but that night I did know.
But you'd kind of suspicion there was something more than a medical problem here. You'd even been to the doctor and really without any relief.
Right. Our pediatrician, we had visited with him on a number of occasions, and he had sent us to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist visited with her and said that she was a normal child, that she would outgrow it, and that there was nothing wrong. She was very intelligent, in fact, is what he said.
Well, and two, you were telling me at times, well, it was pretty obvious, even though you didn't have any background in this, that there was something really strange going on, because you had commented earlier that her eyes would look so funny and even kind of roll or something, and you, to the point you were almost nervous about even going in her room at times when she was having these spells.
Yes, my husband was spending a lot of time away from home, and she would wake up in the night moaning, and I couldn't wake her up, and when my husband was home, we couldn't wake her up. And she would have a very glassy, glazed look in her eyes. They were just bright, and she would moan. She couldn't talk, and we'd ask her, you know, we'd try to revive her, and she wouldn't come to. And this would go on. It wouldn't be every night, but as the Holy Spirit was dealing with us, it seemed that it would become more and more noticeable that she would do this, and it scared me because I couldn't help her. I felt very uncomfortable in my home, and I didn't know why I was afraid, but I didn't like what I was seeing in my daughter, and I had no control what was ever, you know.
Kind of an exasperating place to be in, isn't it? Well, praise God there was an answer. And why don't you share that with us, Leslie? And Doug, you pitch in here as you got any comments. But what finally happened, as it turned out, your babysitter did call the pastor, and he came out that evening.
Yes, he did. And she was sound asleep, and that night I had noticed that she wasn't tossing and turning like she normally does every night. She was still in her bed, and I kept checking on her. And finally they made it over about 10:30 that evening, and they went in the room, and we all stood around her bed, and he started coming against the spirits. And
you kind of knew what spirits to address, is that right, because of the nature of the things, what they had been causing in her? What were those?
They were a vexating spirit that caused her to toss and turn, the rebellion and lying, and the Holy Spirit had revealed it to the babysitter. And then the pastor, when he came, he said the Holy Spirit showed him also. So they came against him, and they manifested themselves. They tossed her, and they sat up with that glazed look and with much anger on her face, and she fell back on her bed. And
now, did they speak out of her or what?
No, they did not. They were very quiet, other than the moving of the body and the glazed look in her eyes. And then she woke up, and she was fine.
And what'd she say then?
She wanted to know what was going on, and she slept for the first night in a long, long time.
She didn't even know she had set up like she had.
No, she was not aware of what was going on until the next morning. And then she was talking and telling about all that she knew and what was going on in her life for 5 years.
What all did she say then?
She said that they would speak to her and were very degrading, telling her that we didn't love her and that nobody liked her. And they had even gone to the point of telling her that they were putting medicine in her eyes, and they would take control of her body and make her rebel and make her tell lies, and they would toss her and turn her at night. And she was just a very unhappy child. But from after that, praise the Lord, she was happy. We could love her. For the first time, I could put my arms around her and hug her. And she was just happy, and it just brought us to the Lord.
Oh, what an exciting testimony. And yet, how sad it is, there are not more people that know about this and what's going on with the spirit world, and that many children, as well as adults, are being tormented and harassed, and without the education, the background, and know what to do about it, they'll continue to be. That's the sad thing. The good news is, though, that here we have the answer. What would you say to the parents out there, Leslie?
Well, I wouldn't ever put anything aside, anything that anybody comes up to you and tells you that sounds far off. It's not, because God does many mighty and great things, and He's in control of everything. And I just wouldn't put anything past that anybody tells you. If your child is doing something that doctors don't have answers for, I'd give it a shot. Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And
that's right. Anything that's out of the ordinary, that's over and above the normal levels, it's good for us to be suspicious and then utilize the power that is ours in Jesus' name. Leslie and Doug Foltz, thank you for sharing with that beautiful testimony on how Jesus set your daughter free. I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.
Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Welcome to Deliverance Ministries. I'm Everett Cox. If my voice sounds a little different today, it's because I'm on a phone patch. I'm on the telephone, long distance, with Susie Brandt of Paola, Kansas. Susie, good to have you on here with us.
Hi, glad to be here.
Susie, you came to a meeting. You and your husband brought your five-year-old son, Joshua, to a meeting at the Holiday Inn. Well, I guess it's been 7 or 8 months ago now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And why don't you explain to the listeners what it was that was going on in his life and what had prompted you all to bring him?
Okay, Joshua just, his behavior was pretty radical, you know. And in my father's family, there had been a history of anger and rebellion, and we had seen it in my son Joshua. And in the Bible, it says that the sins from one generation can be passed down to the second and third generations. And we saw it just really clear in Joshua, and he'd never even, you know, seen him get angry or anything, and he'd had the same, you know, type of behavior, and it was pretty radical. We just figured that it was, you know, demonic behavior just from different things that he'd done.
You know, Susie, we have run into generation type spirits quite a bit, and so it's the old deal, or the people perishing for lack of knowledge and being in bondage for lack of knowledge. And the good news is, in Jesus' name, we received all the power in which to cancel curses. Jesus redeemed us of the curse of law, but we have to apply the power, it seems. We have to deal with these curses and these generation-type spirits, inherited spirits that are flowing down, and that's what you all learned to do, wasn't it?
Yes, it really is. I was just surprised how easy it was. You know, I thought it would, I didn't think it would be that easy, but his behavior just, you know, it just changed, you know, dramatically after we'd taken him to the meeting.
What were some of the things, Susie, that he was doing?
Okay, he was pretty mean to neighbor kids and everything. I mean, he'd just, you know, pick kids up and drop them down on the ground. And he drowned a little kitten that we had, and he just, it was like we could never leave him alone for just a few minutes, you know, because we could never turn our back, because he was just, there was something just, you know, he had a driving force in him to just be destructive, you know, and rebellious. And
even choking some of his playmates, wasn't he?
Well, I don't remember that, but he did, you know, pick one of them up and just throw him down. And But his behavior, it wasn't, you know, kids are, they do things, but his behavior was just radical. It was just constant. It was all the time. Destructive, you know, and rebellious.
And hadn't he done something in your living room too?
Well, he took a broom and he poked holes all in our ceiling. It cost $200 to repair the ceiling, you know. But he was just these things he did just all the time, just every day, you know. We could never leave him alone, never turn our back on him.
Just driving you all bananas, wasn't it?
Yeah, he really was. We couldn't go to the store. He pulled the whole grocery cart over two or three times, you know, with all the kids in it. And
how about the preschool people?
What was that?
Wasn't he in preschool?
Yeah, he was just pretty mean to his playmates and everything, and there was not very much communication between me and him. It was just, no matter what I say, it was like somewhere along the line of communication, it just get, he couldn't, you know, understand anything I said, and he wouldn't mind, you know. No type of, you know, punishment or reward would do any good.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the teachers were having a hard time trying to, they're at preschool, to control him.
Yes, he really did. He was in kindergarten at the time, I think, and his teacher just, she told me that she'd have to, you know, continually get on to him every day to get him to do his work, you know, and to behave in school.
What prompted you to finally bring him to Deliverance Ministries?
Well, I was talking with my stepmother, and we, you know, really figured out this was a thing that was wrong with him, you know, and there was just no doubt in my mind, you know, that this was what was wrong, and I just felt the leading of the Lord to take him to one of the meetings, and my stepmother went with us, you know, and we just took him down to one of the meetings.
I remember that evening, Susie, my wife Carolyn and I went back to minister, knowing that you all were there. Since we talked to you on the phone, we went back to minister to you first in the back of the room there at the Holiday Inn. And as we sat down and ministered with you and your husband in agreement, joining us and coming against these suspects, and we had worked up, I guess, I don't know, 8 or 10 on the list. We had a spirit of murder, a sense of concern because of what he'd done with the cats there. And there was a destructive spirit. He'd knock some windows out as well, had he not?
Oh, yeah. If he had to take a nap or if he had to do something that he didn't want to do, he'd just kick a window out or throw a toy through a window, you know. He had a, you know, a type of rebellion and anger in him, real strong.
Yes, we had those on the list as well, as I recall, a anger spirit suspect and a rebellious spirit. And as we started finally coming against those one at a time in Jesus' name, commanding him to go, since you'll know these spirits by their nature and by what they try to cause, we knew we had some real valid suspects. and we kept coming against each one, and I don't know, we probably spent a minute on each one, commanding it to go until we felt kind of a relief, even though his was one of the type cases where you didn't see anything happening. He didn't apparently feel anything coming out. We could not notice anything coming out. We just went by faith through the procedure, commanding each suspect spirit to go in Jesus' name. And finally, we wound up on our list and commanded any others that were there to also go in Jesus' name. And it seemed we were through, didn't it? And from a deliverance minister standpoint, it's a little bit disappointing not to see anything happening at the time, but we've seen various cases, in fact, quite a few like this, where even though we didn't see it, as we ministered in Jesus' name, we found out later things happened. And that's what you found out. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Okay, just on the way home, we'd stopped and got, you know, a candy bar and some Coke, and he wanted to share with my stepmother, you know, the candy that he got, and which is something he never did. You know, he just never shared. He has, you know, two other brothers, and that was just something that he didn't ever do. He wanted to have the most candy, you know, and the most of everything, and he wouldn't want to share. But he was just wanted to share, you know. He just had a sweetness about him. And then the next morning, I remember he wanted to take a bath in his uncle's bathtub, you know. We told him, well, you'll have to, you know, I said, well, you'll have to wait until I can help you. And normally, every time that I told him no, there would be a temper tantrum. He would just, you know, have a fit every time, and I'd just grit my teeth and get ready for it because I knew it was going to happen, you know, that he was going to have a fit. And there was no temper tantrum. He said, oh, but it'll take a long time. And I said, no, it won't. And he said, well, okay. And he just walked off, and it was just, his behavior just changed. That was the first time that he didn't have a fit, you know, when I told him no, that he couldn't do something. He just accepted it, you know.
Praise God. Well, that's our Jesus setting the captives free, Susie. And the doctors, as you'd visited over a period of time with them before the deliverance, they wanted to put him on drugs for hyperactivity.
He'd been on medicine for being hyperactive, and since he's been delivered, he hasn't had any medication at all. And his behavior has stayed, you know, different than it was before. He's just a completely different person. It took a while to get to know him because we didn't even know him before, you know. We hadn't had a chance to really get to know who he was.
And now after six, seven, 8 months, you've been learning and getting to know your new son.
That's right. That's right. He's just a completely different person.
It seems that while our spirits are born again and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, we are going to heaven, we can still have these things bothering us in the flesh, and you don't seem to be the new creation in your soul, in your body, until you're set free, delivered from these doggone demonic spirits. It's about time we Christians learned how to deal in this. And what saddens me is how many more children are out there, or other people, just like Joshua, that are burdened by 8 or 10 or 12 spirits of this type, and nobody is ministering to them. Jesus told all believers in His name to cast out demons. We have full power in which to do it. I see now what Jesus meant when He told us. How about you, Susie? Don't you understand it better now?
It was so simple. You know, I thought we would have to, you know, maybe force the spirits out of him, but all we had to do was just speak, you know, the word in Jesus' name, and they left, you know, and it was so simple, and he was just a different person after, you know, we just used the authority that we had in the name of Jesus.
Yes, we probably didn't spend 30 or 45 minutes ministering to him, and his life is changed. Susie Brandt of Paola, Kansas, thank you for being on long distance with me here and telling the people how Jesus is still setting the captives free.
Thank you.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.
Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. More exciting testimonies today. Oh, how great it is to find out that the Word is true and goes forth with signs and wonders following. As we learn who we are in Jesus, then we can apply the Word, and what high adventure it is. Well, here in the studio today to share with us is Brother David Sin from Jayton, Texas. Good to have you, David.
It's good to be here, Everett. Appreciate it.
David, where is Jayton, Texas?
We're about halfway between Abilene and Lubbock.
Well, it's Texas is a big place, we notice, so a lot of miles out in that country. Well, down in Jayton, Texas, David, how was it that you might give us a little spiritual history on yourself? First, when did you become born again?
Well, I was become born again when I was 12 years old, and as growing up, I come to a point in my life in my teen years where I quit serving the Lord and actually giving no thought for anything that I was in, anything that I was doing. But fortunately, I had parents that had raised me in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and when I got older, I didn't depart from those ways. I come back, and I praise God for that. So it's been about 20 years that I've been a Christian.
How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Okay, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit about 5 years ago.
Okay, and there we are. And what was it that, what happened in your life that you happened to be sitting here on a deliverance program? How about filling us in? When did you first hear about deliverance, this part of the gospel?
You've heard about it all the time, but as far as it actually being a part of what we're doing today, I heard about that about 6 months ago, and it never dawned on me that that was something that was active in our day and time and in our country here. That's something you related to be in some other country, some backward nation. But about 6 months ago that I come to the realization of the reality of deliverance here and now for us.
Well, a mutual friend of ours, Gary Bowles, I know one of our team leaders here, he had he travels around quite a bit, and he's worked with you in the business world down there. You might explain how Gary first shared this with you, and then what happened.
Well, Gary had gotten involved in deliverance and went through some deliverance, and he shared that with me. And as we was praying over some things that we were doing in our business, some things come up that was in my life that I realized I needed deliverance from that. It wasn't just something that I was struggling with in my own. It was something I was struggling with, but it wasn't just me. And boy, whenever we went through it, I saw a difference in my life and the way I was able to operate. There was a freedom there that I didn't have before. And so I shared with my wife, and we ended up coming up here and both going through a full deliverance session. The change has been remarkable. And what really has moved me is we've seen some things in our... We've got a son. He was a year and 9 months old when this happened. We saw some things in him that led us to believe he had some demonic problems in his life. So we...
why don't you tell about that, David? You all were, showing the video that Deliverance Ministries has and the 29-minute video that shows four case studies, and you were showing it there in your house on your VCR, and what happened?
Right, we had had some friends over, that's right, and was showing them the video, and he was playing and wasn't paying any attention, and the second one that come up that y'all done deliverance on this young lady was the spirit of death. Well, he dropped, when you addressed that spirit and called it up, he dropped everything he was doing and went over and stood in front of the television and started watching that. And, you know,
now, he's how old?
He was a year and 9 months old. And, we noticed that. And so the next night we began was praying over some things, and he come in there and was crying and had woke up out of bed and interrupted the thing. So we started praying over him, and we saw him just fight and kick while I was holding him. I would go and try to, I would lay my Bible on him, and he would fight and try to push the Bible away from him and just say no.
Were you addressing certain spirits or what?
Yes, we started off with that spirit of death wish, I don't remember all the ones we went through. We just kind of went by the leading of the Lord, but we went through about five different deliverances there with him in probably an hour and a half time, and saw a remarkable change in his behavior and attitude through the next day. And then here just a few nights ago, we had one other thing come up, and we went and prayed with him and cast that out of him. And he's just a different child now. He's so happy and just full of joy and doesn't cause problems like he did before. It's just a remarkable change.
What prompted this last one? Was there a particular spirit you came against this last one?
Well, there was some. He was having some problems at night. He would wake up crying in the night, and I don't remember coming against anything in particular. We just came against the spirits that was bothering him, and just prayed the angels around him. And
you see any manifestations at that time?
Just nothing like we did the first time. He resisted there just briefly, but he knew what was going on. Now, each time after we would finish in the original session, after we finished praying and we saw the release come over him, he would clutch and cling on to me, and just he'd get the Bible and hold it with his little hand folded up like children do in prayer sometimes.
And before he was repelled by the Bible.
Oh yes, he would try to push it away, and he would try to get away from me. You know, he wanted to get down. He wanted out of my arms. And then you'd see that release come over him. He'd kind of relax and quit fighting, and he'd just clutch. You could tell he knew what was going on. He knew he was getting set free.
and a year and 9 months old, you know, a lot of us have thought through the years that children couldn't be bothered by these things, but as we've grown and had more and more experience in ministering to people, we started, really just kind of stumbling into it, that people would have children and they were having problems, and we'd get to ministering in a general way, and we'd even see manifestations. We had one of our team leaders recently had two twins that she was ministering to, and both of the twins would manifest at the same time. A rather astonishing thing. I wish we'd had a video of that. I tell you, it's really irritating that our children can be bothered, and yet as you go into the scriptures with this question in mind, you find that it's very clear, because there are various passages that where people had brought their children to be ministered to by Jesus, and Jesus asked them, how long has this has your son or daughter been bothered? And they would say, since a child. So that certainly suggests that these things can get in our children. Well, the good news is, in Jesus' name, we've got the power and authority, and as you've just experienced, Dave, you've seen, as you ministered, you and your wife in agreement, and that seems to be the key to ministering to a child, with the parents in agreement, then what a change has come about. How many more are out there like that, that have children that are tormented and harassed by these things, and no one is applying the spiritual power that we got 2,000 years ago. Why do you think, David, that your son might have been bothered by these things?
Well, we really feel like that, rejection and things like this that happen to children seem to open them up for for these kind of problems to come in on them. And he was born prematurely in the hospital and had to stay under a billy light.
Quite premature, what, like 6 months?
No, it was 6 weeks.
Six weeks early.
Right, 6 weeks premature. And they kept him in the hospital for 2 weeks till they got this bilirubin kind of stabilized, and they had to have these little sunglasses over his eyes to block his eyes to protect them. And he didn't want to leave them on. He was real active, and he'd take them off, and there was a lot of frustration with the nurses that was dealing with him. And we really feel like he got a majority of his problems there during that stay in the hospital, where we wasn't able to hold him and love him the way that we should have and we wanted to, because he had to stay in that intensive care.
So perhaps a spirit of rejection came in, and or didn't you say that you thought there might have even been some curses or spells even perhaps cast?
Well, there was we addressed a spirit of witchcraft, and he reacted very strongly and violently to that when we addressed that spirit and cast it out of him. So we feel like that, you know, there must have been some occult, well, something along that nature that he got in the hospital. Yeah.
Well, the good news is, again, in Jesus' name, we can all be free as we apply the power in his name. David, thank you for being on the program today and sharing about your son and your family.
Thank you, Everett, and God bless everyone. Thank you.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Jesus is a deliverer. And Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, we're coming to you with more excitement. Excitement from the Word of God. Yes, Jesus is still alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's still doing it. Through Him, us as believers can minister to the brokenhearted and set at liberty those who are bruised. We can see lives change. Changed, in fact, a way that a person never would have thought they could have changed. How wonderful it is to see the Holy Spirit move through believers, any of us that learn how to apply the Word. Well, here today to share with us on the program is Carrie Foster. Carrie, good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here, Everett.
Well, Carrie, let me get some history on you. When was it that you first made a commitment to the Lord?
It was in the summer of 1981. We spent the summer with my in-laws, who are spirit-filled believers and very strong in the Lord, and I was moved to commit my life at that point.
Yet you'd loved the Lord, you were telling me earlier, really all your life.
Yeah, I have. I remember praying often as a small child every night to the Lord, and really I thought that the highest form of living, even as a small child, was to commit my full life to the Lord, but I just didn't know how at the time.
How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I received that 5 years ago, and it's made a big difference in my life.
Well, it seems like we all keep growing in the gospel, and I'm certainly no exception. As we look at the book, it's a big book, isn't it? And there's a lot in there, and I'm still learning, and we find that it's kind of in stages. Our growth grows, and here we go some more, and we grow some more, and so forth. Well, Carrie... Here, nevertheless, here you were born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, but you still had some things going on in your life that didn't seem all that pleasing to you.
That's right, Everett. I really was plagued by infirmity and fatigue and a lot of problems that I couldn't seem to overcome simply by the Word of faith, and I knew that I needed additional help.
Okay, and you weren't getting your inheritance. It seemed like something was blocking you.
Yes, and I knew Jesus came to give me life abundant, and that wasn't how I was living. And so that's what brought me to you.
Well, you might describe, Carrie, you came up one evening, you and your husband, and we got into ministering after the teaching, and what went on?
Well, one of the things that leaps to my mind every time I remember the deliverance is a spirit that called itself old and tired, and it was not one that I was anticipating.
Now, you say it called itself. Did it actually speak out of you?
Yes, it did, in this little old woman's voice. And I, you know, immediately recalled that my mother had such a hard time with fatigue and tiredness, and that my father often commented that my grandmother, my mother's mother, loved being old, and that she almost craved being old, even from a young age, like her 40s on. So,
you know, and it doesn't exactly line up. You're a very young woman, so you got a long ways to go.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I do, and I was not vital and flowering as I am now, with vigor. And
you actually acted like a little old lady at times, or quite a bit of the time.
Yeah, I was just really burdened with so large, well, a large amount of tiredness. I have two small children at home, and it was very difficult for me to keep up with them and keep up with the house and do all of the things that a normal 30-year-old woman would have no problem with. I know, because now I'm a normal 30-year-old woman, and I have no problem keeping up with the house and the children and all the other things that I do. It's a breeze, really.
Well, we know all these things. The demons that come, they come to kill and destroy and steal, according to John 10:10, and certainly that one was pulling it off. They all have different missions, it seems. Well, what happened when we finally commanded it to come out?
Well, I actually threw up. Retched. I didn't actually throw up any substance, but I did a lot of retching. It seemed to hang on very tenaciously, and, you know, looking back on it, I see that it's because it had had a foothold in my family for so long. But the blood of Jesus is the blood of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is above every name, including the name of old and tired. And it left, and it never came back. And the Spirit of the Lord said the word health, health, health to me over and over, and I received that, of course, and have been...
You think that was tied in closely to the infirmity spirits that were bothering you?
Yes, I'm sure of that. They were connected, linked, and the infirmity has since departed, and that is one that I've had to come back against. But, you know, it was never as strong. Every time we've had to deal with it, it's only been twice more. It's been weaker and more ready to leave. And I mean my husband and I. And
so you learn to resist the devil, and sure enough, he flees. You learn that you, as a believer in his name, could cast out demons. It isn't somebody that has a special gift, but any believer has the power, and as we've learned, 100% of the power, according to Luke 10:19. So here you were, things had been cast out of your house. Your house was swept clean, so to speak, and here you were now having to resist them a few times as they tried to slip back. Not unusual, frankly, after the deliverance, but you did resist, and praise God. Have they given up now?
Yes, they have.
Hallelujah.
They have. And my daughter had, just shortly after my deliverance from old and tired, my three-year-old looked up at me. First thing in the morning, she could not have been physically tired. She just got up from bed, looked at me and said, "Mom, I'm tired." And the Lord led me then, because the Holy Spirit reveals these things to you, led me in a very casual form of deliverance with my daughter. And
how old is she?
She's 4 now. She was 3 at the time. And she's now free. I mean, she talked about the feeling in her stomach leaving. And now I have her confessing that she's not tired. And
she even felt something, didn't she, when you started coming against that old and tired spirit here, an inherited situation now, even in your daughter, and it was still there.
Yes, she said, "I feel it in my stomach." I asked her, I said, "Old and tired, are you there?" And my daughter said, "Yes, Mom, she is." And
probably heard it or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I feel something in my stomach." And so I proceeded on through the deliverance to, you know, tell it in a conversational tone that it needs to leave, that the blood of Jesus has set us free and broken the curse in our family. And she said, "Oh, I feel it in my stomach, Mom." And after I got finished speaking the word, she said, "Oh, I don't feel it anymore. Yeah, it's gone." So
how's her energy level now?
Oh, it's... She doesn't ever complain of being tired anymore, in the morning, in the evening.
And I can see, Carrie, you've got all kinds of energy.
Yeah, that's right, I do. I do, and I praise God for it. I really do. My expectations for my own life, you know, a clean house, just normal living, are now being realized fully. So,
people carry. That's just one of how many were probably cast out that evening?
Many. There were a lot of them that went in like flocks. Mm-hmm. We would hit a main one, and it was really like a flock of quail leaving. When the main one left, it took the attendant spirits with it. And so we did a major work the night.
I've always enjoyed quail hunting. Maybe that's why I'm good at this. No.
Yes, you're very good at it. Your wife Carolyn as well. She nailed a few that night. So.
Right. Well, it was a pretty classic deliverance, as I recall. Kind of the ones that you. I mean, it's not. Of course, what we've learned is to be delivered, you don't have to manifest. Many deliverances, nothing seems to go on to look at it, and yet you find out later, sure enough, the spirits went because the guy doesn't have those problems anymore. Well, in the remaining couple of minutes, are there any others you would want to share that you remember were cast out, Carrie?
Well, Leviathan was real notable because it manifested in its serpent form.
Yeah.
And I remember that because I wound up on the floor with that one. And so it's a standout in my mind. But being a lawyer and having a history of that built into my family, you know, intellectualism and ego and all of those things with the mind.
You're an attorney as well as your husband.
That's correct, yeah. And my ancestors on my father's side are American Indian, and they stuck strongly with education to get us beyond, you know, the ties. And so I think a lot of that was built in from long ago.
The characteristics of the spirit of Leviathan are described in Job 41 and also in Isaiah 27. He's a large blocking spirit. He's serpent-like in nature. That accounts for the twisting and the, because they kind of coil around the person, apparently. They also promote a lot of pride and that kind of thing, intellectualism and all that kind of thing. Well, praise God, how good is it now, Carrie, to be set free? Would you say Jesus is still alive and well?
He is. He really is. I deal with people differently. I love more freely. There is nothing like being free in the Lord.
And now you're in a position to set other captives free.
Praise God. It really is true that I can, you know, now tell people that there's freedom in Jesus.
Carrie Foster, thank you for sharing. I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, we're still reading the Word and finding out who we are in Jesus, who we already are, that it was done for us 2,000 years ago, and now it's up to us to apply the power, to appropriate the power that Jesus gave us, and to minister to the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to do all these exciting things. And as we apply the power, we do see results. Well, here today to share on the program is someone that's seeing results. I'd like to welcome Maylin Reese. Good to have you, Maylin.
Thank you, Everett.
Maylin, let me get some history on you and your spiritual history. When were you born again?
I think it was about 1957.
How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
That was about 1982.
Okay, and you've had an exciting walk with the Lord, I know, and we've been visiting some here, and you've seen a lot of exciting things happen. You find that the Word is as true today as it ever was. Amen?
Yes, definitely.
You've had healings and a little of everything.
Yes, I have.
Well, Maylin, here recently, you've come to actually a couple of the meetings that Deliverance Ministries has and has had. Why don't you explain how it was you happened to come and what was going on?
Well, I have two adopted children, and when we adopted them, we got them at 3 and 4. And I noticed that everything was okay at the beginning, but as time went on, I noticed that there were some problems. And with my background, I had a praying mother that prayed for me when I was a little kid, and when I was sick, she would pray. And I watched her bind the spirit of infirmity with me and I would watch my fever just fall immediately. So I knew that there was more out there than we were experiencing in our household. My son was from alcoholic parents, and as I say, he was four when we got him. And I noticed that it wasn't long before he was very destructive. He was tearing up his room. He was setting fire to things. As he got older, the problem got bigger. And we went through some family counseling where we were spending $100 an hour. And we were told that this would continue to be get worse as the time went on. And we were told that, you know, the extreme of this is that you tear up everything you have and pretty soon you end up in prison and on a bare mattress. And I knew that we didn't have to go through that. So I listened to your ministry on the radio and decided to come to get taken care of.
What happened then when you came up?
Well, at first, I told my son where we were going to go, and he said, well, you know, I guess I do have some problems. And he had been having some voices talk to him and some things that he had never told me about. And so we brought him to you, and you prayed with him. And while he was here, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of the spirits talked through him. And there was a spirit of anger, and that was one of the big things that why he was tearing up things. And when he came out of that room, he had a big smile on his face, and he was a different kid.
Hallelujah. Well, that's our Jesus continuing to set the captives free, using all of us as vessels. Any believer we find, once they know who they are in Jesus and the power that we have by the Word, that we can minister this way. It isn't just me or the teams here at Deliverance Ministries. It's every believer. Jesus commissioned every believer to cast out demons, and we're seeing now the practicality of that, how to apply that, and then we see people's lives change. How exciting and fulfilling it is to have a part in that. So he was better at that time. In fact, you had a daughter also. You might tell the listeners about your daughter.
Okay, well, I knew that you were going to have a program at the Holiday Inn. And so I decided I'd take both kids because Chris was still having some problems. Things were 90% better, but I thought I would, you know, take care of it all. And so my daughter was going through, she's about 15 then, and she was very rebellious, and we had adopted her when she was 3. And at the beginning, she was just the perfect little child and wanted to do everything like she should do. But I noticed that even as a little child, when you would go to hug her, she was stiff. She never did hug you like a little kid normally does. And then when she became very rebellious, when she would speak back to me, it was as if it wasn't even her. It was in another voice even. And so I became suspicious, of course. And so I took her to the Deliverance Ministries that night. And well, I took her two nights, and the first night we just had teaching, and she informed me that she would not go back, that there was no need for her to go back. Well, I prayed and bound Satan on that, and she was back the next night on her willingly. And I took her back, and a lady ministered to her, and I had heard some tapes on rejection in the womb, and I thought this might be the case with her. And her mother had been schizophrenic, so we had some family ties that we need to break. And so the lady prayed with her, and when she got up and she hugged me for the first time after that, it was just unbelievable. I just cried and cried and cried because I had my little girl back, different than she'd ever been. And she has not been rebellious since then. It's just been a miracle. It really has.
How long ago was that now?
That's been probably 6 months ago, and it's just entirely different. Both of my kids are entirely different.
Well, that's a good test, 6 months, and seeing the difference that long, it's obvious that we scored. Again, something was cast out, and the little girl's life was changed. All of us should be doing this. That's what's frustrating to me, is to see the reality of this, to see the power we have. and then not seeing everybody doing it. Why isn't, where are the workers out there? Why aren't we all doing this? Commissioned as we are, it's rather frustrating, really. I guess that's why we're on our soapbox here at Deliverance Ministries telling it. There isn't any way we can minister to everyone, but we can sure tell it, and others go out now, and we can share what we've learned so far, and we find that then you can minister to everyone, yourself and your neighbors and so on. And often it is in stages, just like you were mentioning with your son, May Lynn. In fact, your son came back up here just about a week ago and was ministered to again. And it's the old situation of, you know, you can get a lot of them in one go around, but it's more of a process, not a quick fix, typically. And you just need to keep applying the power as needed. And how's your son doing since he was up here a week or so ago?
He's doing great. We had a problem with him. I called it the pack rat syndrome, in that he would carry everything out of the kitchen, the pots, the pans, the silverware, and I mean, you know, it's pretty hard to cook without pots and pans. Anyhow, we were able to go back and clean all that up, and things have been so much better, and I think you hit on the cravings spirit, so that and the thing about it is that he has learned that he has to do some of this himself also. Yeah. And I think it's as much anything that he is learning to be able to shoot his gun, as you say, mm-hmm. at the demons. And
well, there were some spirits that I happened to minister to him myself, and they did come out. He felt them come out, so I know we scored. We found that whether you feel anything or not, though, that it's, and typically the person is nevertheless set free. You don't have to feel anything. You, on occasion, will see the extreme where the demons actually talk through the people. That's about 10% of the cases. And then about half the people will feel them coming out, as your son did this last time, even though he had manifested the first time he was in. And, but praise God, I know we scored, and he's apparently experiencing now that he doesn't have to hoard or have that cravings of all things type spirit. Well, May Lynn, are you in a position now to go out and set the captives free?
I think so. I think I'm going to join the team. I feel like that I've been helped so much, and I feel like that this is a ministry that I'd like to be a part of. So I plan to join the team on Monday night.
God. Freely you receive, freely give. And that's what we're all doing. Jesus has set us free, and now we're ministering to the others. Thank you, May Lynn Reese, RN, for sharing there that beautiful testimony with you and your family. I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.